Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Scoutcast this week. As always, you are joined by me, Andy, FPL Teach Mode. Unfortunately, we are not joined by Joe and Seb this week, but we have replaced one Seb with another Seb. Seb, evening. Thank you very much for joining us.
Absolute pleasure, mate. Absolute pleasure. I'm really glad to give everyone an insight into my dog's health currently as well. Very pleased for that.
So. That's it now. That's what you're going to be known for.
The guy with dog snores, yeah.
Probably. Yeah. obviously, Seb, we're going to get into a little bit as to what you do and kind of what you're known for. And there's quite a bit. I was just chatting to you beforehand. But, you know, obviously, you're here tonight because you're such a massive FPL fan. But you've also got a little bit of credentials there with Hashtag United as well.
Yeah, I've always played fantasy sports. I used to actually play the old Yahoo game back in the day, but really when the pandemic hit, I got obsessed, like to a genuinely unhealthy level, like an unjustifiable amount of my time gets spent doing my FPL team, tinkering around with it. So very much looking forward to talking about it with you tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be great, mate. And like I said, in terms of what we're going to be looking at tonight, we are well aware that there are another like 12 days until the next deadline. So much stuff is going to change. We're going to know whether Salah's back. We're not going to know whether he's going to be rested. We're going to know all of that kind of stuff. We've still got a game to play yet. Obviously, that's going to happen soon. But what we thought is we're just going to keep you going as viewers, because obviously we're there for you. We want to make sure we give you a bit of content as well. So we're going to be talking about Game Week 24. We're going to look at our teams and see kind of how we're both looking and how we're feeling and moves that we are potentially going to be making going forward. We're going to think about the Game Week 25 double, because we know that now as well. We know that Brighton are going to double. We know that United are going to double as well. So maybe looking at some players that we might want to try and bring in for those. And then we're just going to have a bit of a chat and maybe some questions from the guys in the chat as well. So I think it's going to be quite an enjoyable stream. And Seb, thank you very much for joining me tonight. So shall we have a bit of a chat about Hashtag United before we get too far into it? Just tell us a little bit about it, because there might be some people in the chat that don't know anything about it. I won't lie, I was a little bit ignorant towards it, and I've been kind of researching it for the last 48 hours, and I've been fascinated by it. So let us know a little bit about it, mate.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, where to start? It's a long story. I'll try and keep it really brief. Essentially, it's a football team that me and my brother and his girlfriend at the time, now fiance, Alex, started nearly 6 years ago. And it was basically us playing football, and we used to upload it on my brother's YouTube channel. It's a big channel. He's got a couple of million subscribers. And we've basically made this format of football that we played in with our mates. It was the guys we all went to school with. And we sort of gamified it a little bit. We played different celebrity teams, different YouTube channels, went and did challenges and things, which is quite commonplace now in football YouTube, but maybe wasn't so much back then. And it just really, really picked up and grew. And yeah, and since then we've played almost every Premier League stadium, been on international tours, travel around the world with it. And we've now actually joined the real non-league pyramid. We play in the Ithmian League. So we're that the eighth tier is the, sorry, not the eighth tier. The eighth tier of English football, which is a couple of divisions up from where Salford started, or where the Dons and MK Dons and Wimbledon split, where they had to sort of reborn the club. So we are a couple of promotions away from the National League. We've got a women's team now. We've got a professional esports organisation, and we've now, it's obviously got its own YouTube channel where we make all the content about all the teams following their progress, really. A low budget, non-league version of All or Nothing.
Well, it's amazing, mate. I absolutely love it. I mean, what's the dream? What do you want to get to? Do you want to get to the point where you can pick players in your FPL team that play for your team?
Well, you know, it's interesting to say that. I've become good pals with Ben Foster in recent years. And me and brother went up and did his podcast. And there's a clip on his podcast. He said, "I'm coming to play the hashtag when I retire." Fact. We have Ben Foster sooner or later. I mean, who knows? We've got to do some amazing things. We're living the dream now, to be honest. Just be able to keep it going and keep having this much fun running our own football club and growing the game and trying to stand for the things that traditional football clubs have got stuck in the mode of not being able to do that. And we're trying to do things the right way, very, very inclusive. It's what we stand for. So we're having a lot of fun, mate. We just hope it keeps continuing.
No, I love it. And before we go on to talking about our teams, because I think people will be fascinated by this. Obviously, we talked about the dreams. What kind of challenges have you really faced as well? Obviously, there's going to be loads, isn't there? But can you give us just a few little gems as kind of the challenges that you found making it from the start and even the challenges you're finding now? Like, people would love this idea of kind of, it's almost like Footy Man in real life, isn't it? Like, people do this in Footy Man, don't they? They start their own clubs and go from there. What challenges have you faced?
A lot. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's been an amazing journey, but it's been phenomenally tough. You know, from the early days when people call us a cringy YouTube team because our name is hashtag United, and you're trying to take that into non-league in a very traditional sense, it's a difficult thing. But our name sort of represents what we're about, which is a team from the internet, if you like, and for anyone online. We really stand for, we try to stand for all things to a modern day football fan. And for us, you know, I feel like computer games and games like FIFA and games and fantasy and just an online presence of football is as much as a part of your experience being a football supporter now as going to the game on a Saturday or watching Match of the Day used to be when I was growing up and still very much is now. So the challenges were trying to get people to understand it beyond our YouTube audience. We've got a really, really big audience to watch us online and they love it. And that's growing. We get some amazing numbers. But just keeping everything going. You know, since we join non-games every other Sunday, so now we're playing two or three times a week. We've got three different grounds we rent. We've got offices. We've got staff, production team. We've got a huge body of volunteers. Our youth team, hashtag United Youth Team, is from under fours, boys and girls, all the way through to adults. We've got 500 footballers that play in the hashtag under the hashtag Brat badge. So there's a huge amount of undertaking, and we're very lucky. We've got an amazing group team, you know, as in staff, but also volunteers all the way through that structure that help us. But yeah, there's a lot of challenges. Production's a big one, you know, running this Scoutcast and other things you do. How much goes into setting up one stream like this? You know, when you're doing that, multiple things every single day, every single week, nonstop. There's a lot that can go wrong and often does go wrong. And then it's just, you know, you've got to keep reinventing yourself and trying to come up with new things and new ways of making people take an interest and get on board with our little journey.
Yeah, it's amazing, mate, and I wish you the best of luck. I'm going to be looking on YouTube all the time now for your matches and keeping track and see how you're getting on.
There you go.
Especially when you play my team Yeovil soon as well.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, you never know. So, I mean, one of the challenges you didn't mention there is the fact that obviously you've got this club to manage, but also you've got your FPL team to manage. How's your season gone this year? What's your history like?
My season started diabolically. I got on the wrong end of a couple of key decisions early on that if I'd got them right, I'd have had a very good start right from the beginning. Yeah. But I didn't. I got them wrong. And I consistently was getting them wrong. I was the idiot that sold James for Chilwell, thinking that I was doing it for a long-term move to get to lose the James odd cameo off the bench point just before James scored twice a few months back and got injured. So I've been the wrong end of a few things. I'm climbing back now, though. Got all my chips in hand.
Nice.
I think I'm about, what am I? Am I 60? What? Hang on, 60k, something like that? Am I?
We've got you as 83k on here, but I suppose it's mid game week as well.
At the beginning of the game week or something like that. So yeah, I've been making a bit of a surge into the top 100k, trying to get my sights on the top 10k. But yeah, we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, we do. Do you know what? I don't know many managers that can't say this season that a few decisions have gone against them. Like, do you think of all the different things that have happened this year? You know, Salah against Havertz in game week 9. I went Havertz. I don't know what you did. Antonio Bowen. We had obviously Bruno versus Ronaldo. Even Dennis versus King this week has been a bit of a swing already, and King's got another game yet. But how did you, as a manager, what are you? Are you quite a calm manager? Did you kind of take those hits on the chin and think it's okay? Long season, or do you react and kind of, you know, try and be a bit proactive in your moves?
I want to react, but I'm trying hard not to. I'm trying my best now to be more disciplined and try and make longer term decisions. But it's against my nature. I'm quite an impatient, quite sort of extrovert sort of guy. So I like to just back myself and back my hunch, which often, as you know, in FPL can really go against you. Yeah. But I consume an awful lot of the content stuff the Scout do, and lots of other people, obviously Andy, who's been a big part of Scout over the years, watch all of his videos. Let's Talk FPL. And the Black Box and The Wire, big fan of those guys as well. So I consume a lot of that stuff, and that's teaching me a lot from sort of the really experienced managers. And one key thing outside of maybe late riser is that a lot of people tend to play the slower game, and it tends to give them much more consistent things. But so I'm trying to do that this year. I've got all the chips left. I've had to fight off playing the free hit a couple of times. I am tempted by a wild card this week, though. I can't lie. I have been looking at it. But that double game week wasn't really what I wanted. So I think it's probably staying put, but it's tempting.
Yeah, we're going to talk about those, because I tell you what, I'm kind of a bit gutted you said you're tempted a wild card, because I am too. So I was hoping we would have differing kind of views, but I am really tempted. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit as well. We're going to look at our game week 24 teams. And if I bring yours up, so for anybody listening that is listening on the pod, he's got De Gea in goal, Alexander-Arnold, Keane, Cancelo, Ramsey, Bowen, Jota and De Bruyne, and then Dennis, Ronaldo and King up top, with Gray, Livramento and Alonso on the bench, with obviously hashtag United soon-to-be keeper Foster as well. So tell us what your thoughts are for this week. Obviously, you haven't made any moves yet, but what are you thinking in terms of moving forward?
No, so Keane was one bad decision when I brought him and Gray in before, and I luckily got away with the I missed out on his minus points last week. I had him on the bench, but with Alonso there, he might have to play this week, because I'd probably look to use the transfers elsewhere. I'm looking at getting rid of Dennis. I only just brought him in. Yeah. To be honest, I brought Dennis in and I didn't captain him, thankfully, purely because I'm trying to get a good rank, but I'm also trying to do well in particular mini leagues. I've got one particular guy who's been giving me a bit of stick earlier this year, Nick Brown. You know who you are if you're out there. I'm trying to catch him. And he had Dennis. And I was like, look, if it cost me minus four just to cover him, because I'd just overtaken him after being like 100-something points behind, I've clawed him back in. And I thought, I'm just going to get Dennis just to hedge, because I know he'll captain him. So it was a hedge. It went wrong, but end of the day, he wasn't my captain. So never mind, Nick. Chin up. But yeah, so it's... It's probably going to be Dennis that will go out this week. It would have been, I nearly sold Ronaldo instead of Antonio for him last week, but just because of the rumours of the double game week 25, which has now come to fruition, I held him and I'm glad I did. I brought Bruno in for 1 week last week as well, which paid off nicely. Brought him straight in, straight back out to De Bruyne, who got a nice 8 points for me. So I think Keane and Alonso might stay. I mean, it would seem silly to sell Keane ahead of Alonso if I do want to get a defender in. Because Alonso obviously isn't going to play for a couple of weeks. Yeah. So it could well be Alonso to Digne, someone I'm looking at. Obviously, that's the one a lot of people are looking at right now. Dennis, possibly to Watkins. Obviously, Villa's looking good. I've already got Ramsey in place. So they're the sort of things I'm looking at, unless I go crazy and hit the wild card. If I don't hit the wild card, I can honestly see me not getting Salah until 26.
Yeah, see, Salah's a big one. Everybody's going to be talking about Salah, because obviously it's a lot about when they get kicked out of AFCON, or if they get kicked out of AFCON, because obviously if they win again, they've got another game coming up soon, haven't they? And obviously if they win that, there's less of a chance of him playing against Leicester. I mean, we all know what happened last time he played against Leicester, so it's not a definite that he comes back and obviously does something, but it's looking like he could. That wild card is there. I mean, if you were to wild card now, knowing what information we know, because there's still 12 days until the deadline, how many changes would you actually make from your team?
Yeah, so, I mean, before the double game week 25, it would have been quite a lot, because De Gea and Ronaldo would have probably left, whereas now they'd probably have to stay. It would be at least six or seven, I think. It would be, you know, Dennis and King would go, Gray, Alonso, Livramento would go, King would go. De Bruyne might probably go down to a Foden just for affordability. I brought De Bruyne in for Fernandes last week purely as a placeholder for Salah. Yeah. So he's just going to stay until I decide to do it. But the problem with De Bruyne is his fixtures are so good. When do you want to sell him to get Mo in? So that's going to be a problem I've got to deal with. There'd be six or seven changes, I think. I was really hoping, I was actually eyeing up a wild card last deadline. I was waiting for the fixtures to come out. If Leeds and Villa had got that double that we thought they would, I was actually going to go for it, and I was going to just bring in Digne, Watkins, Rafinha, bring loads of those guys in and just get it done. But yeah. because it didn't happen, I've held off, and I'm glad I held off now. So, yeah, it's one of them where I don't think it's optimal now with the way the double's fallen. I'm not sure. I've just, what, like I said to you before, I just want to do it. I love playing the chip. It's exciting, right?
yeah, it is.
But you, then you've got that little voice on your shoulder being disciplined, thinking, yeah, it's exciting now, but it could be even more exciting with other opportunities in the future.
Yeah, it's such a strange one because I've been looking at my team an awful lot. And obviously, a lot of us are just keeping players because we know they've got those postponed fixtures. So we're actually keeping players. Like, I've had Watkins for ages. He's not done anything, but I'm keeping him because I know Villa have got those doubles coming up. And a lot of people are doing the exact same. A lot of people, I'm exactly the same as you. I've now got King and Dennis in my team, and I'm looking at it and thinking, the Watford aren't looking great. They've got a new manager. Do they, you know, are they going to be affected by that? It could bring a little bit of a turn in fortunes, but it's Roy Hodgson. Are they really going to be that attacking under them? And all of a sudden, I'm looking at my team. It's a good segue into my team now, actually. So I'm looking at my team, and I could make 8 or 9 changes here. I genuinely could. So I've got Lloris in goal. I've got Cancelo, Trent and Diop, who's not even starting games at the moment. He didn't start at the weekend. I've got Saka, Jota, Madison, Bowen and Gray. And then I've got King and Watkins up top. I've got Dennis, Rudiger and Livramento on the bench. Now, straight away, I'm looking at my team and thinking I could have only 2 defenders this week. I'm also looking at, like I said, King and Dennis, who I'm not loving at all. I've got players like Gray. I could get rid of Madison as well because those doubles are coming, but the fixtures are horrendous until those doubles come. So I'm just looking at that team. Saka's got a blank game week. And I just think I could change this team. I could target double game week 25. I could get De Gea in goal. I could get Sanchez on the bench. I could maybe even bench boost in game week 25. Mm. Get that out of the way, because we know that's a chip that sometimes if you get it out of the way, it's better. And I'm just looking and thinking, I could just keep eking this out. Or with 2 free hit chips as well, wildcard might be the play. You know, I've got 2 free hit chips to navigate. Was it game week 27 where Liverpool and Arsenal blank? I can navigate that absolutely fine. I can get in my Liverpool and Arsenal whatever I want, and I just feel like wildcard could be the play. But if I didn't, I think I've got to get rid of Rudiger for someone like Dean or Laporte, and even then I'm worried a little bit about double City in defence because they got Champions League coming back. You know, I've got Jed Steer on my bench. Like, I'm just looking at it and thinking this team could do with a little bit of work at the moment.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because you mentioned the bench boost. You know, I've heard a few people saying that the optimum strategy, if there is such a thing, is to, you know, save that wild, use the free hits for some of the blanks and doubles you mentioned, to save the wild card as late as 36.
Yeah.
And then bench boost, or 35, sorry, and then bench boost 36. But the problem I've got with that is, one, I'm not that patient. But two is that is surely going to have most of the teams are going to be, the Man City are going to have won the league already. Yeah. So how are you going to pick Pep's team then? There'll be all sorts of other things going on at the bottom of the table who, you know, we can get some funky results toward the end of the season. So it's a lot harder to predict it. So I don't know if I like the idea of leaving 2 chips that late. I don't mind leaving a free hit that late and having some fun towards the end of the season. I think that makes more sense, but I feel like the wild card needs to be played sooner. And we keep waiting for these doubles. There's always these opportunities that are coming. And as they go, you're hoping the next one's going to be more fruitful. But what if it isn't? Like, there is some merit in just getting it done. You know, there's a few people that played. Andy obviously played the early wild card last year, and it worked out incredibly for him.
Yeah.
The early second wild card. And I know a few people that's worked for before. You get ahead of the game and you can maybe make, not that it really matter this year, but you can make maybe $500,000 in team value just because you're bringing in the players that everyone's going to bring in. Like, Digne is going to be 5.5 in a few weeks' time. He's going to keep going up, right? Watkins is going to rise a little bit. You're going to have a few other players that, like Rafinha, might go up. And there's going to be some players that prices are going to go up. And also, some of these guys like King and Dennis are going to be making an exodus from loads of teams. They're probably going to drop in a bit of value. I don't think that's as important as it maybe has been in other years, but it is something to consider. And, you know, the one problem I've got is I would love to do a wild card over international break and maybe try and actually have some real fun with it and really put some thought into it. But because there's potential for more announcements to come about doubles or postponements or whatever, you're probably going to end up playing it right at the end. And then you sort of, it's another reason it's maybe a less optimal wild card, because you don't get to maybe do a little bit of trading and gain a little bit further over the international break. So I'm probably 70-30 against. But that 30 could change. We'll have to see.
Yeah, and obviously it's completely team dependent as well. You know, there are some teams out there that that look very good. There's teams out there with De Gea, with Bruno, with Ronaldo, and it's looking absolutely fine. But there are other teams, and I look at my team and I think this could do with some work. I'm completely agreeing with you in terms of an early wild card this year. I just feel like we're going to benefit from it more the earlier we use it. If your team looks fine, then obviously you wouldn't want to. But I think there's going to be teams out there that try and eke through different weeks moving forward until they get to a double. And they could have used it earlier and they could have benefited from it earlier. And I'm just looking at it thinking, if you're thinking about wildcard and there are people out there going, it's too early, you shouldn't be doing it now. We do have 2 free hits now as well. You know, if you've still got those, they are your get out of jail free cards in weeks that you need them. So I'm very, very tempted to do it this week. But like I said, if I didn't, I think you've got to be targeting those double game weeks in potentially in 25. Although, is it as good a double as we think it is? I mean, if I ask you now then, who are you looking at? If you were to bring in if you had 2 free transfers, who's your optimal players you'd be bringing in from United and from Brighton?
Well, I don't think I'd bring in any more United players. I've got Ronaldo and De Gea. I just sold Bruno, mm-hmm. knowing he's going to have a double, because I don't really trust the Man United attack that much.
Yeah.
I've just made the short-term Dennis move, which obviously backfired purely to take advantage of one double. That's come back to bite me before when I bought in Gray and Keane. So I'm a little bit burnt by bringing people in for smaller double game weeks. So I'm not too worried about... I mean, De Gea and Ronaldo are going to be the two highly owned United assets. I'm not worried about that. I don't think, unless I decided there was a really good wildcard opportunity immediately after it, I don't think I would bring in anyone else for the double. I actually think I would look to bring in players for the more medium term, like Villa, because Digne is already off to a banger. It's on set pieces. Looks like Stevie Gerrard's got him playing really well at both ends of the pitch. Clearly, I think with what he did at Rangers with the fullbacks, Digne is going to be, and Cash are going to be people that are very much well involved. Watkins, I don't see... The worst I see happening to Watkins is he gets forced a bit further wide. If Ings comes in and gets a few goals, he's going to have to keep his place. But I think Watkins is part of that team's press. I don't know if Villa will be as good without him, even when Coutinho's come into the mix. So Watkins is someone I'm interested in. Let's be honest, there's not many good striker options out there. For me, most people's teams are going to be migrating towards, especially with the double for Man United, Ronaldo, Watkins and Broha, right, at Southampton. They're going to be the guys to save the money, to get it into midfield, to get your City assets in defence, if you're looking at double up, to get Salah back. That's how I'm seeing it right now, I think.
I think you're being a bit mean about United. I think there's a few little players there that we could think about. I mean, obviously it's tough because you want to own these players at least medium term, isn't it? But like you said, I think De Gea and Ronaldo are probably the two that most people would go to, aren't they? Most people would own. And if there's any hint that Ronaldo would be playing, Bruno all of a sudden becomes a very good asset, doesn't he? But defensively, I was talking to somebody the other day saying, who can we even trust to start in defence for 2 games for United? Or 3 weeks if you're going to bring him in this week. And it's really tough to pick a player, isn't it? Like Dalot, but Wan-Bissaka will be back before the next Premier League game. Shaw, but Telles, you know, they seem to be sharing game time at the moment. Would you go for someone like Varane? I mean, 5.5 million, but he's a bit dull, and there's not a lot of goal threat there, really. Maguire's in and out. Lindelof's playing a lot. I'm struggling there, but there are maybe some other gems elsewhere.
Well, what did Digne get last week? Did he get 11 in the end?
So, yeah, 10 or 11, wasn't it?
So 10 or 11 points, and you think, you know, Maguire plays 2 games, gets 2 clean sheets and a yellow card. He's not going to be that much more over 2 games anyway, and then his fixtures are good after that, sure, but... Yeah, I mean, I would just take Digne with one less fixture over Maguire all day long. I've always been a bit of a Digne fanboy. So that would be a really, really easy one for me. He'll be coming into my team. It's just a matter of when. I think I can see myself taking a point six. That's the other thing, is how close can you get to your optimal wild card with a minus eight, right? Yeah. And then is a minus eight or worthy price to pay to keep it in store? Probably is, right? So if I can do Dennis to a Watkins or a Broha, and then I can do Alonso to Digne, just bench Keane for a bit. I don't need the money. I've got enough in the bank to do De Bruyne to Salah when I do want to do it. Then I'm sort of quite happy with that, I think. That's why I'm leaning against the wild card, is I can get, you know, I'm not going to drop Cancelo or Trent, De Gea for the double staying there. I can then have Digne midfield. So my back four sorted. Ramsey, I don't want to get rid of because he's Villa. Looks like he's fairly now.
Very good player.
Very, very cheap. Very plain. Well, Bowen's on the form of his life. Jota's someone that could move out over time, but doesn't have to go right now. De Bruyne becomes Salah or Foden. It's just Dennis and King and then the bench, really. So you're talking me out of it more and more here.
Good. As I'm talking myself into a wild card, I'm talking you out of one, which is quite
good. You said it's so team dependent, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, and that's exactly it. And the biggest message I want to say is that there will be people out there that say you can't wild card this early when they haven't even looked at your team. And it's if you feel like it's the right time to do it, because like you just said, Andy did it last year. I did it last year. People were telling me not to do it. And I moved up about 300K in rank. I was about 500K when I did it. Moved up to 200K in 3 weeks. Like it can change your season if you do it properly. Nice. We talked about United there. Didn't talk about Brighton at all. Which Brighton assets do you fancy? Because few people were burned by Trossard. And obviously Mope got benched. But he's actually been quite consistent, Mope, recently. Defenders, obviously, they always seem to be quite good for low scoring games. Who would you fancy in that double?
Yeah, I mean, it's Lively Lamptey for me is the one I get excited about. Ooh. Just whenever you watch him, he's just incredible. He's obviously getting his minutes managed. There is an upside to that. I quite like the fact that he could come off after 65 minutes and bank a clean sheet. You know, I don't mind that. And at his price, you can bench him easy enough. They've got the double. I would be very keen to look at Lamptey. I actually had Trossard last year, brought him in for 1 week, and he got that goal.
The Newcastle one.
Yeah, the Newcastle one. So I've got a bit of a soft spot for him, but I'm not tempted by him at all. We got rested recently, which was strange, because when he did come on, he looked very lively. So I'm not really tempted by him, again, unless I'm doing a wild card immediately after, because he's just a transfer in and out. And I'm not sure either of these doubles are lucrative enough. There's anyone that's standing out to me that I'd want to pay two transfers for to get them in and get them out again, other than maybe Ronaldo and De Gea, just because of how highly owned they're going to be. Yeah. And if they go off this week and you don't have them, you're banging trouble, basically.
Yeah. I think if people are really, really attacking it, or if people are on wildcard, I actually do think Mope's not a bad shout. I think he's done well recently, and he is ticking over quite nicely. And if you have those kind of mid-price strikers up top, you can move him to anybody that you kind of want quite easily. I think you've already mentioned Lamptey. I'd always be wary of Lamptey if you are wildcard or if you're bringing him in, just because he could get injured so quickly. And we know that. He is being managed, but even then, he does like getting injured. Yeah. Cucurella is somebody that people like. Obviously, if you wanted to double him up with Sanchez. And like I said, actually, I would be quite tempted to have De Gea, Sanchez and another Brighton defender and maybe go for that bench boost in 25. I don't think that's much of an issue. I think United could easily draw against Brighton. That could be a 0-0. And you just look at it and think, I don't think I'd mind owning some of those players in that game week. But I do agree with you. If you're not going to wildcard and you're going to take a hit, I think those United boys are probably the safer bet based on EO as well. Although we don't like looking at that, I think you have to take that into account as well. So, yeah, interesting. If you had to say now, then I'm going to put you to the sword. Who are you most likely going to bring in? Nobody for United, are you? So you're going to get Dean, most probably.
I think it's probably, I'll probably bring a striker in first. I think Dennis would go before Alonso. So if it was just going to be a one move, it would be Dennis to a Watkins or a Broha, probably.
Yeah.
And then it's a case of, do I want to play minus four to play Digne instead of Keane? And I do want to play Digne instead of Keane, but do I want to play minus four for it? Because, you know, King did not play in the last game.
Yeah.
He did get dropped. So there is a risk he doesn't play. And if he doesn't play, I've only got Livramento to come on. And he's probably not going to play, right? So there is a risk there. I want Digne long term. So part of me feels that minus four has got longer to pay for itself. So I like going for it if I get the chance to. So I can probably see Digne and the striker coming in for Dennis and Alonso for a minus four is what I think I'll probably do. Unless I get really scared about Salah. But it's just madness to sell Salah for another, bring Salah in for another minus four when you've got to sell KDB to home to Brentford to do it. When I honestly think if Egypt do play in the quarters, which is on the 6th, and Liverpool play on the 10th, he's not gonna do what they do on a regular international break. He's not gonna fly home the night of in a private jet without like Antonio in cotton wool. The earliest he's going to get a flight out there is going to be the 7th. Yeah. So he's going to land back, get into training on the 8th, 2 days before, after a month that, when they've been doing quite well without him. I'd be very surprised if he plays for Egypt on the 6th, if he starts on the 10th. That's just my personal opinion. So yeah. I'm not so sure he's worth bringing in for a minus four if you can stomach it. Obviously, a lot of people have held him, so they'll be gagging to get him back in their teams. But if I had him back in my team, I don't know if I'd throw the captaincy on him for that same reason. So if I'm not going to captain him, Do I want to pay minus four to get him in this week? No, I don't.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I should have said about my team, by the way, I've got 12 million in the bank because I was, yeah, I know. So I sold Ronaldo for Dennis and I already had 6 million in the bank anyway. And obviously I'm just waiting for Salah to come back because I wanted to be able to upgrade any of my midfielders to him. And obviously he's now not coming back. So I'm looking at it and thinking, if I want those three cheap strikers up top, I could go down the route of having De Bruyne and Salah in my team. It'd be quite a nice one. Could maybe then go to Bruno or something like that. But that means not having Ronaldo. So it's, yeah, it's interesting to look at. I mean, the only thing we haven't mentioned, by the way, and I think this is quite topical based on what happened in the last double game week, is do we continue to put so much stock into double game weeks? Because people are ripping up their teams for these double game weeks and they are turning into a hindrance more than anything else, aren't they? So is there a case of ignore him, like you were saying, maybe go for someone like Dean, who you're actually trusting a bit more, you're trusting Villa more than United, and you're just completely ignoring these double games. Well, not completely ignoring them, but not completely investing in them.
Yeah, I think because I've got the main ones I want, which is Ronaldo and De Gea, I'm selling to myself that do I want to pay, you know, for a transfer to get in a Brighton player that I'm going to want straight back out again? Maybe you could justify Lamptey or Cucurella, for example, to come in for Alonso for that extra game. But do I think they're better than Digne long-term? I don't know. I'm not so sure. So maybe it's not worth doing that. I, as I said, I've been burnt by bringing in people very short-term for these doubles so far. And either one of them's got postponed with Everton or the West Ham one or Dennis getting sent off. So I'm not too sure there is. If you've got like an Arsenal with a double or a Chelsea or someone else, you bring someone in and you get two teams with really strong upside, like, you know, Man United have not scored lots of goals recently and neither have Brighton. They don't ever score a lot of goals. So does that feel like someone you want to be ripping your team up out to get other people in for people that don't have scored loads of goals? It's my personal opinion is I'm not afraid of it. I was a little bit afraid of Dennis and it was a bit of that fear that made me do it. And I did literally say, even if he blanks, I'm playing minus four to not get hurt because I knew he was going to be the most captain player. If he had scored two goals over the game week, it was going to really hurt my rank. So I said, look, I'm going to pay minus four to have an insurance policy against that happening. I still captained King because he's the one I had. So I still backed my horse, the one I went with earlier, you know, grass versus stats. I went with stats. So I wanted to back my horse and go King. So I didn't captain Dennis, thank God. But yeah, like it was just an insurance policy, a four-point hit to not get burnt by him. But in the end up, I got burnt by him.
I know. And that's how it happened. And that's the kind of thing where I think people, you know, I've seen people taking silly hits, you know, minus eights, minus 12s to try and get some double game week players in. And I think you do sometimes just have to take that step back and think, is this sensible or am I just getting drawn in by the double game week? And it's so hard to not to.
Well, the question is, are you going to captain him? Are you going to bring him in? Are you going to captain him? You're not going to captain him over Ronaldo, are you?
No, so, exactly. I mean, I did it with Dennis this week. I was so close to rolling and I did Ronaldo to Dennis because I thought, actually, I fancied Dennis to do okay in the two fixtures he had. But I was so close to rolling because I just kept thinking in my head, I don't want Dennis and King up top the next week. And it's those kind of it's those kind of thoughts. And maybe it's just that step back. Sounds a little bit hindsight-ish, so I do apologise, but it's that kind of thinking that you maybe have to do a bit more.
I did the same. We were in the same position. I did my first transfer. Like, I only did my transfer about 10 minutes before. I did my first transfer, which was De Bruyne Fernandes to De Bruyne, because I was 100% on that one. I did that move. And then I just waited about Antonio to Dennis. And I waited and I waited and I just thought about it. And in the end, I'm just too scared of Dennis. I'm just going to do it. And obviously now I regret it massively. But yeah, that was it. In the end, it's just sometimes it's the fear of the double that can take over. And that's a lesson I've learned now. When I think about it now, hindsight, it's so obvious. Like, why am I worried about a Watford striker? Like, when I watched that game that night, they were so dreadful. And I was like, why was I worried about a Watford striker? I already had one. What was I doing? So it's a good lesson learned.
It is. And you never know, King might get a brace against Burnley and we'll all be fine anyway. We're going to go back to our little home screen here. And this is the time now where the people in the chat can put in any questions they like. So they can put any questions. Again, I'm going to reiterate this. We know it's like 12 days until the deadline, but people like chatting about it even during, you know, even when they know it's a bit of a break. So chuck the questions in. It can be about the game week. It could be about the doubles moving forward. It could be about wildcarding. It can be about hashtag United. If you wanted to ask Seb a few questions about his club, anything like that, we are more than welcome to, we're more than happy to answer your questions. So chuck them in now, and we will answer as many as we can. Probably give us about 10, 15 minutes, I reckon, before we sign off. So you're more than welcome to chuck some questions in. That's an interesting transfer that's happened today. Obviously, Callum Chambers has gone to Aston Villa. I think that's probably going to be a backup, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to say who's going to get out of the team.
Yeah. Ash Riaz says, can we trust Dean over Cody or Aitnori? Good question, because Wolves have been fantastic this year, but Dean's obviously got those doubles coming up, hasn't he? So you would definitely fancy Dean over them.
Yeah, I've got a soft spot for him. I think Gerrard's gone out and he knows exactly what he wants there. He's put him on set pieces on the corner as well, which he got the assist from. So, you know, he's started off with an absolute bang. I'm just looking now at Wolves' fixtures. Because I did, on my initial wildcard draft, Aitnori was someone I did look at having. I mean, they've got Arsenal, then Spurs. So it's not ideal fixtures. And then Leicester, but and then West Ham. So they're not exactly fantastic fixtures, but what they've been doing in defence is quite incredible. You know, they always were quite solid over the last few years. But now the new manager, it looks like they've found that solidity again. They've been changing around the number of different formations. They seem to have found a system now that's working well. I think very, very solid bet. It's just whether the fixtures are optimal right now, to be honest.
I like him. I think they are kind of resurging at the moment under Gerrard, and I do really like them. Colby McColby says, do you reckon Telles is worth a short-term punt? I'll let you answer and then I'll answer.
Depends who for, really. I mean, in sort of looking at it very matter-of-factly, he's playing for Manchester United, who've got a double game week and pretty good fixtures after that. They're not keeping a huge amount of clean sheets, apart from they did against my team West Ham on the weekend, nicking that right at the death. That hurt a little bit. He's a bit of a risk. You know, I would say if you're going to do a short-term punt, I think there are other short-term punts that maybe are a little bit safer, like you mentioned Cucurella or even a Lamptey. Dino's not a punt, really. If you're looking for a short term to play for the double, I'd be maybe tempted, especially when a lot of people might have De Gea as well. Don't know if I want to double up on Man United's defence, to be honest. So I'd probably be more inclined to punt on a Brighton defender than I would on Telles, just because you never know when Shaw's going to come back. That would be my response to that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I wouldn't be going Telles personally. I think if you don't have De Gea, I probably wouldn't touch United defence.
I'd probably go with Telles. I'd be sooner to go for Dallow just because he's easy to hide on the bench if you need to, right?
So yeah, Dallow, I would be absolutely shocked if Wan-Bissaka didn't play one of those games. Absolutely shocked. But Dallow's obviously quite million. Attacking. Yeah. Dallow's so, what, 4.6?
Yeah. 4.5.
Golden Boy says, would you wildcard with one free hit left?
Again, for me, it would come down to the cliche, what's your team dependency? But with one free hit left, I'd be even less inclined to wildcard, just because I think there are going to be, with a number of postponements to come that we've got, simply despite the fact that the cup fixtures will play havoc, they're just going to be a lot of double game weeks to carry on with. And when we don't have the information of them, we don't know when they are, even if they're 4 or 5 weeks away, I just wouldn't wildcard with only one free hit left. I think that you're going to need those. There's going to be at least 2 weeks you're going to need to do something drastic with your team. So you'd have to be in real trouble to push it with only one, in my opinion.
And also as well, when we already know that game week 27 is going to be a Liverpool and Arsenal blank, you're going to have triple Liverpool by then, aren't you? You know, Salah's going to be back. You're going to have Robertson and Trent, or you're going to have Jota as well. And all of a sudden you're looking at that and thinking that's a perfect free hit week. So if you're then going to wildcard now, free hit then, you've then got another 11 weeks. Sorry, I'm a teacher. That's good. Another 11 weeks without any free hits, without any wild cards. You've got to make sure you navigate that perfectly. So I think you're looking at that and thinking with one free hit, it's a little bit tough to justify unless your team is ravaged and you really are going to be making 15 changes and they're all justified. Who have we got? Oh, it always does that. It skips up. I had one there. Kai Zero says, what are your thoughts on Olise from Palace?
Looks lively, doesn't he? He looks lively. I mean, they've got some great flair players now. In Zaha, Eze and Olise. They've got Edouard banging goals in. They look under Vieira like a different side with Gallagher in there. Yeah, I'm quite impressed by Palace. I think he looks good. I don't know what their team's going to end up like. I don't know if there's anyone I'm really considering from an FPL perspective at the moment there.
Yeah.
Mitchell, our hero from a year ago, he's got his place in there. So he's someone that if Palace did have a good run, you could always look to bring in. But Elise, I'm just going to keep an eye on him, just enjoying what he's doing right now. See if he can keep it up. See if he's going to keep his place in the team. And just one for the watch list.
Yeah, I agree. Absi Kriem says, where's Joe? So Joe is doing some much needed improvements to his house. I think he's let FPL get to him a bit. He's made a lot of holes in his walls, so he's getting to a plaster at the moment. So Liskip Bayless says, Seb, as a West Ham fan, would you bring Antonio in?
So I just sold Antonio last week for Dennis, but I'm obviously regretting that now because he's got a good fixture in Watford. I am a realistic West Ham fan. I'm a big West Ham fan, but I'm also a realistic one. I'm not someone who expected us to have a chance of getting top four. I thought we'd fall away. I'm more about the experience of West Ham fan. The odd playoff final coming up, the odd win over Spurs, that's all I need, right? I'm not too worried about more than that. So doubling up on West Ham is, I did it for a long time with Bowen and Antonio. It worked very, very well. And Antonio's fixtures are good. So if I could reverse that one, I would. But I just don't know if I trust West Ham enough to want to go double with so many other options out there. The caveat being that really, ideally, if you're going to have one, you just want Bowen. But the thing is, there's such a lack of striker options that Antonio just is a good option at his price point. He just is a good option. I think he's going to come good. He's going to play three games, or he's in the squad for Jamaica for three games. And he's someone that looks absolutely exhausted right now. So that was ended up being the thing that actually made me push the button on it, as well as being scared of Dennis, was look, there's every chance Antonio is going to get injured. If I hold him, Dennis goes mad and then Antonio gets injured. It's going to be awful. But I tell you what, last year as a West Ham fan, not owning Lingard was a disaster because it was like this horrible feeling every time he scored a goal. It was like, yeah, oh, oh God, that's going to hurt. You know, so I don't like when a lot of people have West Ham assets. I tend to have to get involved because you want to be able to properly celebrate every goal they score. Yeah. So yeah, for this week especially, I mean, if you've got a free hit this week, this way I always look at it. For a 1 week only move, if you're free hitting, is that guy on your team? And the ultimate answer is, for this week, Antonio is in your free hit team against Watford.
WT22 says, Seb, how is Kojo Epenkton doing?
He's doing well. Kojo's played for Hashtag. We've had a great run recently. We've managed to go on a real... We got promoted again last year, so we've sort of in the new higher level, and it took us a while to find our feet, but we're now kicking on a little bit, and Kojo's doing well, yeah.
Oh, nice. I'm glad you knew that was, I hope I pronounced it right. I'm sorry if I butchered that. I Am Cello says, hey, Seb, I ran into Ross Gleed yesterday. Lovely lad. Gave me a permission to come and watch next Hashtag match. One thing, though, his breath doesn't smell the best.
Wow. Charming. Ross is a fantastic lad. And I can confirm his breath smells minty fresh. Ross is an absolute Hashtag legend. I tell you what, he wouldn't say that to his face. Let me tell you that right now.
Yeah, no. So I didn't know whether that was an in-joke, so I do apologise. Varun Jagannath says, would you take a -4 to swap Sterling to Fernandez? He has KDB in his team as well. He'll bring in Salah in 25. So would you swap Sterling to Fernandez for a -4?
Oh, you know what? That's tough because I said to you before that I wouldn't do De Bruyne to Salah for a -4. And I just sold Fernandes to De Bruyne. So I probably wouldn't do that. But the Sterling thing is such a risk because you never know, he could not play. I would be tempted to do that because he's already got De Bruyne in place. It's close, but I would probably think I've got City covered here. I want to get Man United double, an extra player in there. That's one of them that could easily backfire. So it's not a dead cert. It depends how aggressive you want to play, really.
Yeah, no, I like it. Right, I think we're going to finish off there, mate. Thank you for everybody in the chat as well for your questions, because we had quite a few there and I thought we could do it for a little bit longer this week because obviously it was a bit of a different stream. Seb, thank you so much for joining us, mate. Absolutely loved listening to everything Hashtag United. Like I said, you've got a viewer now. I'm going to be watching those every week. I hope you enjoyed your evening with us.
Absolutely did. Loved chatting FPL. So no, it's great to have watched Scoutcast for the last couple of years. So to get my debut has been a lot of fun.
No, it's been great. And I'm sure it won't be the last time. I'm sure when we have an international break, when Joe's getting his conservatory put on, we'll have you back on, mate. So again, thank you very much, everybody that's in the chat that's joined us this evening. And we will be seeing you next week when we'll be thinking about the next deadline. So have a lovely week, guys, and enjoy your time. Having a little rest from FPL. See you next week. Bye-bye.